It's The Scratch with Joe Weston and Mike the Intern.
Mike the Intern, Joe Weston. It is another edition of The Scratch.
Yes, sir.
How's it going?
Good. How's it going with you?
Good. When was the last time you went and saw a live concert?
Last time I went to go see a live concert? That's a good question. I'm trying to think. Band of Horses.
Ooh.
So it's been about a year ago. I saw like two concerts in about a month, and which is unusual for me. Yeah. I saw Band of Horses and also went to St. Louis to see Nico Case. Mm-hmm. So those are the last two live shows that I've been to
see.
Just
a year.
Yeah.
You not like going to live shows, or just one of those things?
Not as much as I used to, honestly, yeah. Because you have to deal with the crowds, and you have to. And it's really funny. It seems like, and this is probably going to be insulting to people in Springfield, but there's a lot of people who pay money to go to concerts in Springfield and then stand and talk loudly behind people like they're completely uninterested in the show.
They just want to be there and say they were there.
They just want to be there and say they were there. And I'm to the point where I don't like to stand and watch shows anymore. I want to sit and just enjoy it. And it's kind of hard to do sometimes. And I think sometimes to me, the actual idea of going to a show is better than being
actually going
than actually yeah. being there. Most of the time when I go, though, I will tell you that I generally have a really good time, and I'm really glad that I went. But
it's kind of like going to the gym.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of. I mean, I've been to a ton of shows. I used to go all the time. I was, you know, if I didn't go to see at least a show a month, most of the time it was a show a week.
Yeah.
You know, that was highly unusual for me.
Yeah.
But now at this point in my life, and then concert tickets are, you know, they're extremely expensive. Wah, wah, wah. Complain about all the stuff, but you know, it's, I don't enjoy it as much as I used to.
Yeah. It's a process for sure. And I think I'm in the same boat. Golly, I can't even tell you the last concert I went to. The one that comes to mind is Tom York's in the wintertime in St. Louis, which was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Life-changing for me because it was the first time I saw him solo. I've seen Radiohead six times, but that was the first solo York show I saw, and got to see their producer Nigel on there with him, and that was cool. But I'm in the same boat, I think. When I started dating my wife, I had already seen a ton of concerts, but there was a lot of shows that she didn't see.
Yeah.
You know, that I had seen already. And so obviously I wanted to take her to all those shows so she could see him and experience him. But what I found was that a lot of the concerts that I'd had really good experiences with, when I went and saw him again, I was let down, because that anticipation of seeing for the first time and the presentation of seeing him the first time, and then you see him again and you're like, oh, you guys are kind of doing the same thing. That's not the case with other bands. Like Radiohead, it's different every time. But there are certain bands that, you know, you see once, and that's really all you need to do. You need to see them one time. So my rule is usually if I have a really good experience with a band, I only see them once. And I'm talking about like bands I like, not bands I love. Bands I love, I'll see every time. But like bands I like, if I see them once and I liked it, that's it. I won't ever go back, because I don't want to ruin that experience.
You know what I mean?
But I think, and another thing about live music is, at least for me, there have been several bands and records from bands that got released, or bands that I'd heard of that I was like, meh, or the album came out, I was like, meh. And then I saw them do it live and I was like, I get it now. I understand it now. I understand what you're trying to do, because you can see them do it. You can hear them do it. And it's, I don't know what it is, but it makes more sense when you see it live like that.
Have you ever been to a show that you would call a religious or a spiritual experience?
Several. Yeah. Shows. Yeah. Radiohead at Red Rocks, Floyd at the Kodak Theater in LA. And then again with my dad at the UC, but that was more of just because my dad and I finally got to see him together. The Water stuff, Radiohead in Rainbows tour. Hell, Jackson Brown when he came to
that. Oh, really?
I always bring that up because that one was like a sleeper for me. You know, everyone talks about how great Jackson Brown is, and he's great, but until you see him in person and can see what the man can do and what he's really known for, you don't really get it. And I have a feeling that that's the way Neil Young's going to be when I finally get a chance to see him.
Yeah.
Because of all the live shows that I've got and heard, and just how intimate it is with him. But man, those tickets, dude, 80, 90 bucks a pop. That's hard to swallow for a guy who's been on an internship for 14 years.
Exactly. I
mean, that's a lot of money, man.
Yeah, it is. It is. Shows are expensive. I like, there's a lot of little shows that I'd like to go see. I've got a close friend who goes to see a lot of shows, and he tells me about them when he comes back, and I always kind of kick myself for not going. He's gone to see a band.
You're missing out.
He's gone to see a band called the Trash Can Sinatras a couple of times, and he said, you know, people were openly weeping at the show because of just the experience and being that close to them.
That's
and,
how the Gilmore show was. Yeah. People were crying all around me because they all kind of figured this was the last of it, you know, that never happened again. And for all of us that were there, where we were sitting was magical. And but yeah, it was just like saying goodbye. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think for me, it was probably about 1989 or 90. I got to see a band called The Call from Chicago, and they had just come off tour with Simple Minds doing stadium shows, and they played at the Regency, which is now the Complex. And Michael Biehn was the lead vocalist. His son is the leader of a band called Black Rebel Motorcycle Club that's around today.
Yeah, very good band.
And he tragically ran sound for his son, and he passed away at one of the shows. But Michael Biehn held a room like no other person I've ever seen before in my life, and it was totally. They wrote these big sort of anthem rock songs, but they were
called them Barn Busters.
But they were more of a club band, and they really held a room, and it was an amazing experience. And it's one of those things where I go, man, I feel really lucky that I got a chance to see that.
That's in itself is one of the things I think that if magic does exist, that's true magic in its form, is the ability to walk in on stage and capture everyone in there. Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden, I think, is a very good example. Even if you don't really like Maiden that much.
Yeah.
Just to see what he's able to do on stage and how he's able to sing almost like an opera singer to the guy in the back of the room. And you feel like that. Cause when I saw him, I was that guy in the back of the room, and I was just blown away. And I like Maiden. I'm not super heavily, you know, diehard Maiden fan, but that definitely won me over that day. Another band that, you know, I give a lot of crap to 80s rock and stuff, but, one year we went to Rocklahoma and saw Jackal. And I mean, you know me, what do I care about Jackal? Dude, those guys blew me away. And the music was okay. It was just the showmanship and the show that we saw and the spectacle that it was. And it wasn't like Kiss spectacle where it was a bunch of fire and lights and blood and all this crazy stuff. It was, look at these guys down a bottle of Jack together and play rock and roll together and try not to kill each other with a chainsaw on stage. That was amazing.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget it. You know?
Yeah.
And that was a really good Rocklahoma too, because Queensryche, that was the last Queensryche with Jeff show I think they ever played. And that was amazing to hear his voice. That was a really cool deal. But yeah, it's almost as if, especially with shows like that, the ones that are tied to like emotional connections, what I was doing, where I was in my life, what happened, I almost kind of like, I'd rather have those, you know, go down than just like, I went and saw this band. Yeah, they were good. And that was it.
Yeah.
I want it to be that experience every time.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes you get it and sometimes you don't get it.
Elvis Costello is a guy that can really hold the stage too. He may not like Elvis Costello. I mean, there's a lot there not to like. I personally love him, but I was kind of indifferent to going to see him, but I've seen him twice, and both times he owned the room. I mean, when he walks on the stage, he knows he's the guy that everybody's there to see, and he's going to show it. And that there's something to be said for that. There's something to be great for that. I have a story that I'll tell you. There was, I worked at a station called Channel Z in the early 90s. And we were an alternative station, and there was a band that came out called Naked Soul. And they had a song called Lonely Me, Lonely You that is, you know, everybody's forgotten at this point in their life. And they were again playing at the Regency, and they were the headliner, and we were sitting upstairs at the Regency with the lead singer, the guy that wrote the song, and we were just chatting with him. And I just asked him, you know, what's it like being out on the road? And he goes, man, it's really rough. He goes, it's cost me my relationship. He goes, I you know, lived with the same woman for a really long time, and it just cost me that. And he goes, tonight before the show, I was on the phone with my daughter, And it's just really hard. And then he went on stage and he did Lonely Me, Lonely You. And it just meant something so much different
than
it ever did. And I'll never forget that song. I'll never forget that conversation. And it's one of my, you know, all time highlights for seeing a live show.
I implore you that if you've never watched the documentary, Meeting People Is Easy, about touring and what it does to a band and what it can do to a band, watch it, because it's about Radiohead, but you see they weren't super popular, but then they were about to release. It's like the perfect picture of where they're about to release a masterpiece of a record and what it did to them and how strong their core had to be to maintain, because a couple of them are extremely socially awkward. They don't want to be out on the road. They're not stars. They don't care about that. They just want to make their art and hopefully it identifies with someone. And that's a really good example, because it's not the path that you look at bands like Motley Crue, where it's like, oh, it's our ability to just get out there and bang and snort and do what we can do, man, on the road, which takes its toll. But it's the other end. I'm away from the people I love. I'm away from my home base. I'm in these weird places. I'm constantly going through revolving doors, and it's just insane. And then I have to get up on stage every night, put a smile on my face, and give you everything I have.
Yeah, and you know, I've seen bands, I'm sure you have too, that you can just tell they didn't feel it that night.
And that's another thing.
And they're just going through the motions.
Yeah, you see that connection, it's huge. Well, we're about to the end of our podcast for this week, but I think the best thing as far as homework assignment goes is get out and see some live music.
Yeah,
get
absolutely.
Out and see some live music, especially local bands. These guys, most of the time, are making enough money just to feed their habit. And they're not making any money. They're just doing it because they love it. So go support a local.
I think that goes back to a story that I heard of, you know, when REM released their second record, they made $24,000 that year split amongst four guys.
Yeah.
And of course, later on, you know, they're a big REM corporation that still exists today. But seeing bands like that, seeing local guys that get out and do it because they love it, that they're not making much money doing it, that's something. There's something to be said for that. There's, you know, Sean Monday, who played at our show, played at our bike show, totally blew me away.
Yeah,
totally. Totally blew me away. And I could tell that he was a guy that was just sitting there and he was doing it because he loved it.
Yeah.
And when you see something like that, it really, really touches you, really, really speaks to you.